Dateline Washington, Tuesday, April 14th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Karumbas. In this edition, the true state of the economy and what will fix it. We'll talk with Curtis DeBay, senior policy analyst and tax policy at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. President Obama on Tuesday outlining what he sees as glimmers of hopes on the economic horizon, and he says it's a result of his economic policies. And of course, he continued to push for investments in education, energy, and healthcare reform. We'll talk with Mr. DeBay about whether that is important to resurrecting the economy or whether it's just an agenda Obama is pursuing while he has the chance with this economic downturn. Also in this edition, right-wing extremists are a threat to American security. And by extremists, the government means anyone who disagrees with the administration on abortion, immigration, or the Second Amendment. We'll talk about this development as well as the impact of it all with Roger Hedgecock, host of the Roger Hedgecock Show right here on the Radio America Network. Roger is the one who discovered this story as a result of an assessment released by the Department of Homeland Security. Plus, the state sovereignty movement. Texas Governor Rick Perry is just the latest to endorse legislation that says states don't have to obey federal orders unless the power to give those orders is expressly granted to Uncle Sam. We'll get reaction from Jonathan Williams, Director of Tax and Fiscal Policy at the American Legislative Exchange Council. And we'll take a look at the almost complete lack of stability inside Somalia that allows the piracy off the coast to thrive. We'll talk with Fred Olodende of the Foundation for Democracy in Africa. All that plus the news straight ahead. We begin with the economy, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Curtis DeBay, Senior Policy Analyst in Tax Policy at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. We want to get his reaction to President Obama's assessment of the economy at this point, as well as the president's rejection of conservative criticism of his economic strategy to this point. And Curtis, thanks so much for being with us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
The president essentially saying that there are now signs of progress in trying to turn this economy around, but in his words, no means are we out of the woods just yet. What's your assessment? Is there light at the end of the tunnel at this point, or is it still going to be a pretty long, hard slog until we see some significant economic recovery?
Well, I agree with President Obama that there's some ways to go before we're out of the woods completely. If you look at some of the leading indicators, like the stock market, which is a leading indicator, it's still languishing, and it was down significantly again today. So that means that Wall Street isn't particularly bullish on the economy just yet. And if you look at job losses, which tend to be the employment numbers tend to be a lagging indicator, we still lost a significant amount of jobs in March. So that's another negative sign. And we just found out today that retail sales were also down in March. So the economy is still languishing. There are still some ways to go, but hopefully in the near future we'll see some turnaround.
Curtis, how do you put all these factors together? You just mentioned some of the negative ones like stocks, which had been on quite a bit of a rally and now dropping back a little bit. Jobless rates are obviously difficult right now. Retail sales down, but we've seen better numbers with respect to some other issues like quarterly statements from some of the major banks that were in pretty dire straits and even a little bit in terms of home sales. So how do we factor this all together to figure out where we stand exactly?
Well, I think the way that the Americans factor this all in is if they have a job. So, jobs is one of the most important ones to look at, and we're still shedding jobs. So that's a bad sign. The Americans will feel more confident as soon as they see companies adding workers instead of shedding them. And it's important to remember, too, that once the economy does start to move, and those banks that have tremendous piles of money because the Fed has increased the money supply so much, start to put put that money out into the economy, we're likely to see inflationary pressures begin. And the Fed will have to wring that inflation out of the economy, which could send us back into a secondary recession. So that does lay ahead of us still. So like I said, there is room to go before we're through this major problem.
We're talking with Curtis DeBay of the Heritage Foundation. And Curtis, just yesterday, the president was at the Transportation Department saying that thus far, in looking at all these transportation projects that were part of the stimulus package, which obviously drew a lot of criticism from the right and elsewhere about the total price tag and where some of this money was going, he says we're under budget and ahead of schedule, and so he's leading an effort here that is involving fiscal discipline and fiscal efficiency. Has there been enough time where we can make that assessment, or is he being a little bit rosy there?
Well, I'd have to say he's being pretty rosy if he's saying that a $1.9 trillion deficit equals fiscal discipline. The amount of spending that's going on in Washington now is just almost inconceivable. We know from history that massive amounts of government spending do not create economic growth. It didn't work in the 30s with the New Deal. It didn't work in the 60s with the Great Society, and it won't work now. What we should have done, what we should be doing now, is cutting spending and cutting taxes, getting money in the hands of the private sector, and encouraging working, saving, investing, innovating, and taking on economic risks.
The president also actually brought up the major criticism of his economic strategy at this point, saying that, quote, "I know there is criticism out there that my administration has somehow been spending with reckless abandon, pushing a liberal social agenda while mortgaging our children's future," unquote. He then went on to say, though, Curtis, that the worst thing, in his opinion, his government could do in a recession was cut spending. You just said that was something that he should be doing, along with cutting taxes, in order to spur economic growth. Well, what does the president have wrong in his analysis here?
I did hear what he said. He knows of no economist that would support cutting spending in time of recession. Well, in some manners, that's true. We do run large deficits during recessions because incomes fall, and we do have safety nets like Social Security and unemployment insurances that continue to grow or kick in during recessions. But like I said, we know from history, and we know from what we learned from past recessions and past massive expansions of government spending, that it doesn't work, because when governments spend a dollar, they first have to take that dollar out of the economy. They either have to do it through taxes or through borrowing. In this case, they're going to be borrowing trillions of dollars out of the same credit markets that you and I use to go borrow monies for mortgages, for buying cars, for anything else that we need a loan for. When they do that, they take money not only from individuals but also from businesses that could have used the money to expand, to add new capacity, to add new workers. The stimulus spending might give President Obama an opportunity to stand up and say, well, we're saving this many jobs in Columbus, Ohio with new police officers, or we're putting in this new road. What we don't see is the effect of all the jobs that were foregone in the private sector because that money wasn't there to borrow. And of course, let's not forget that all the borrowing does drive up interest rates, which makes it more expensive for the rest of us to borrow as well.
Curtis, the president also once again made a pitch for his major spending slash reform priorities, namely healthcare, energy, and education. You already mentioned the huge record deficits we're already facing. What will be the impact of those, and does spending in those sectors necessarily trigger economic growth over the long term?
Sure, yeah. President Obama is pushing a non-sequitur that makes absolutely no sense. We have a severe recession that originated in the financial sector because of too much risk and an asset bubble in the housing market. It has absolutely nothing to do with energy, education, or health care. Putting money into those areas of the economy is not going to help get the economy going again. He's using the cover of the recession to push his own agenda. That's pure and simple what's going on here. And we shouldn't see it any other way.
Go back to your philosophy of lower taxes and lower spending. What kind of numbers would you propose in a realistic way, and what impact do you think they'd have?
Well, I think obviously lower taxes would help at this time. There's no doubt about it. It's hard to put a number on it, but the very first thing, at the very least, I would extend all the 2001-2003 tax cuts permanently for everyone, not just those under $250,000, for everyone. It's always a bad idea to raise taxes, but even more so during a recession. Those who make over $250,000, that's just not wealthy people. There's a lot of businesses that are included in there who create jobs and provide jobs for many Americans. Raising taxes on them, like I said, during all times is a bad choice, but especially now during a severe recession.
Curtis, it's hard to quantify a lot of these details here, but given the track that the president's on with the blessing of large Democratic majorities in Congress, what do you see as the impact on the length potentially of the recession based on the policies that he's instituted so far and seems to be advocating down the line here?
Well, I think historians look back on this period of American history much like we do on the Great Depression, and we'll say that, yes, we were entering a severe recession much like we had in 1981 and 1982. But because of government policy going back to the TARP, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, in November or October of 2008, all the way up to the stimulus, and including President Obama's massive budget, which he proposed last month, government action will actually have prolonged the severe recession rather than help get us out of it.
Ultimately, what do you think will be the keys to getting out of it? If the current policies aren't helpful to a large extent, what will be the factors ultimately you think that pull us back into an upward growth pattern?
Well, it's the same with all recessions, whether it be minor or major, but it comes down to the American people getting out and being more confident in the economy and and working more and investing more, and that comes when businesses have a better feel about the economy and they start to expand as well. It'll come from the private sector recovery, will not from the government.
And in terms of something you mentioned a little while ago, and that's investors, we thought they might be a little more confident when they pushed it up to around 8,000. Now it's been dropping back a little bit. It's hard to read the minds of investors as a whole, but the fact that it's kind of stalled here and maybe even drifted back a little bit, what does that suggest to you?
Like I said before, the stock market is always forward-looking. They're looking 6 months, a year, even 18 months to 2 years down the road and saying, what's the economy going to look like then? Right now, you know, the stock market's been languishing around 8,000, so we haven't seen any steep drops, but we haven't seen substantial increases either. So right now, I think everyone's just in a holding pattern, waiting to see what's going to happen next. You know, we're still unsure what's going on at all the banks. We're still unsure what's going on in the auto industry as well. So all the uncertainty is still there, and once that uncertainty gets cleared up, maybe we'll start to see the markets functioning again.
About 60 seconds left with Curtis DeBay of the Heritage Foundation. And Curtis, we've seen the Obama administration impose some new rules on Wall Street in terms of executive salaries. Obviously, they went after the AIG bonuses, forcing changes at the top of a firm like General Motors. What's the impact of government intervention in some of these huge industries?
Well, I think we're already starting to see it. There was a story just yesterday that some of the top talent is now avoiding banks, going into the banking industry because of all the regulation. Government action in the market always has unforeseen impacts. That's why it's best to limit it. We need to be getting the government out of the banking sector, out of the financial sector, out of the auto industry, letting private markets function, and then we can see a more robust recovery. Until then, the government's going to remain muddled in the mix and actually creating more problems than they're helping.
Curtis, unfortunately, that needs to be the last word. Thank you so much for your time and your insight today.
Thank you.
Curtis DeBay is a senior policy analyst in tax policy at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. This is Dateline Washington.